And a special thank you again to our brother Derek for coming and ministering to us in song. We trust the Lord will bless those messages to every heart and soul. Bless our brother as he sings for the Lord here, there and yonder, as the Lord would lead and open up doors. We're going to turn again to that passage that read earlier, please, to John's Gospel, to the chapter number 6. John's Gospel, chapter number 6. And with God's words open before us, let us bow together just in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we return thee thanks for thy presence with us thus far in our gathering tonight. We thank thee for the gospel hymns that we've been singing. We thank thee for our brother's ministry and song. We pray that thou would bless that ministry to every heart, and bless our brother that brought it. Lead him on with thyself, and bless him and use him, Lord, for thine honour and for thy glory. Lord, as we turn now to consider thy word for a season, shut us in, Lord, with thyself. Shut out every distracting thought and care that is not of thee. And fix our hearts and our minds, O God, upon thee, upon the great issues of eternity, yea, upon the very Christ of God himself. We pray that thou would bless every waiting heart, strengthen thy people in the ways of God. And Lord, for any and are gathering tonight, old or young, and are not saved, O God, awaken them, we pray. This night we pray that they would flee from the wrath to come, that they would turn and seek the Lord while he may be found. To this end, O God, cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Make us a clean vessel fit for the Master's use, O God, we pray. Pour out thy Spirit, O God, upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And own and bless thy word, thy truth this evening, to the extension of thy kingdom, to the glorifying of our Saviour. Do answer prayer, do abide with us, O God. Do every heart good as thou would see that need. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory. Amen. Now our text for this evening we want to look at is the verse number 68. Of John's Gospel and the chapter number 6. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now these words are really part of what we might say to be Peter's confession of his faith. And Peter makes this bold and great confession of faith after the Lord himself had asked a question in the preceding verse. Look at verse 67. It says there, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" And the Lord asked this question after many ceased to follow the Lord. If you read this entire chapter through, whenever you go home, you'll see how it tells of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in the early part of the chapter. And after that great miracle, we're told how many follow the Lord just out of a carnal reason. They were just following the Lord for the promotion of self and for what they could get out of the Lord in a carnal manner, so to speak. And the Lord sees this. And the Lord knows this, and he rebukes them for their carnality of just following him for temporal things and carnal things. Look at what he says to the crowd in verse 26 in the early part of the chapter. It says there, "Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Following on of this rebuke for their carnality, he then tells them to seek after spiritual things. He exhorts them to trust in him, him who is the true bread of life, and for their salvation. And you see that in verse 35, where he makes that great statement about the bread of life. It says in verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And as you read on down the chapter, you will see very clearly that the crowd are grieved at the truth that Christ preached. They're grieved at the word of the Lord that Christ brought before them. Hence they forsake Christ. Hence they no longer follow the Lord. They are offended at the gospel. They are offended at the word of God. They go back from following after the Lord. Look at verse 66 of the chapter. You'll see that for yourself there. Notice what it says. It says, from that time, it says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. From that very point in time, they turned away from the Lord. They turned their back upon Christ and upon the word of God. And following on from this, Christ then immediately turns to the disciples in verse 67 of the chapter. And it says, then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? What a question he put to them. And with characteristic zeal and fervor, notice Peter's prompt reply in the very next verse, verse 68, our text for this evening, Peter's confession of faith, if you like, it says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And by these words, what was Peter doing on behalf of the rest of disciples and himself? My, he was expressing his desire to cleave unto the Lord, to seek out after God, to hold fast to the Lord. And can I say that should be the burden, the ambition, the goal of every Christian, whoever he is, whoever she is, no matter how long they're saved, recently saved, or how long converted. This should be the burden of every Christian, no matter what trials the Christian faces, no matter what difficulties they encounter in the road of life, no matter what offenses may come their way on their journey to heaven, God's people must never forsake the Lord. God's people must never turn their back upon God and the house of God and the word of God and the things of God. And God's people must hold fast to the Lord. Indeed, as the Bible says, all God's people have a responsibility, as the Bible says, to cleave unto the Lord with full purpose of heart. But you know, as well as expressing here God's will and God's plan for every believer, this confession of Peter also reminds us of three very important lessons in the gospel. And folks, it is those lessons that I want us to consider this evening for a little while. Notice first of all here from this verse that we have a great blessing that is mentioned. What is that blessing? It is the blessing of eternal life. Look at the verse again. It says of Peter that he spoke to the Lord and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is the consummation of God's salvation in the life of all his people. It means the eternal existence of the soul and the body of all who are saved. And that existence being an existence of everlasting blessing in heaven and in heaven's glory. You see, at death, the soul of all who are saved departs the body. And immediately that soul of all who are saved is received into everlasting glory to be with the Lord himself in heaven. The psalmist David had that very hope in his heart, and he spoke of it. And in Psalm 73, he said this of the Lord, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. David was looking forward to heaven's glory in his soul. My Paul, the apostle, had that same great hope. Remember, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, he spoke there of being absent from the body, present with the Lord. He was speaking there of his soul being in everlasting glory. My everlasting glory was the experience of the soul of Lazarus whenever he died. Turn in your Bible back, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And look with me at the beginning there of verse 22. Here the Lord is speaking the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And he speaks of the death of Lazarus, one who was saved. And he says in verse 22 of Luke chapter 16, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried, it says, by the angels into Abraham's bosom. In Abraham's bosom there is but another name, another title for the place of eternal glory for the souls of all those who were saved. But my, it's very interesting to note there as you look further on down that passage that that glory was not the experience of the rich man who died in his sin, who died unsaved. Look at what Christ goes on to say about him and the latter part of verse 22 and verse 23 of Luke 16. He said, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. My, his soul went out to everlasting judgment in hell itself. Jesus says he died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. O child of God, this evening, please understand that at death your soul cannot be lost. Your soul, when you're saved, will be with the Lord in glory. The Bible says your soul will be with Christ, which is a far better. But dear unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, realize this, at death, your soul will be doomed and lost forever in a lost eternity in hell itself, in the lake of fire. Indeed, the Bible says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. You die unsaved, die in your sin. Your soul will be ushered out into a lost eternity in hell itself forever and ever. The place of the doomed. The place of the damned. Yes, this eternal life speaks of the soul of those who are saved and being in heaven's glory. But this eternal life that Peter also speaks of in our text tonight, it also speaks of the resurrection of the bodies of all the saved whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Such will be raised unto eternal glory. And their bodies will be reunited with their glorified souls in heaven itself forevermore. Again, Paul speaks of that very fact over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In the verse 43 there he speaks of the body of those who are saved. He says it is sown in dishonor, put down in the grave. But he says it is raised in glory. Raised in glory when Christ returns. And my, in heaven the glorified soul and the glorified body of all who are saved will enjoy God's presence. And they will enjoy God's blessing forevermore. Free from sin. Free from pain. Free from sorrow and sickness and all the griefs and the limitations and the trials of this very life. David was looking forward to that very fact when he said in Psalm 16, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and there are pleasures forevermore at thy right hand. Indeed, the hymn writer could say, there's a land of pure delight, where saints immortal reign, infinite day excludes the night. And pleasure banishes pain. But let me also say tonight that this eternal state of blessing is not for the unsaved. What of the unsaved when Christ returns? Turn back there to John's Gospel. And chapter 5, just a chapter back from our reading tonight. Look with me at verses 28 and 29. There you read of the return of Christ, of the resurrection. There will be two resurrections when Christ returns. The resurrection of the saved unto glory and the resurrection of the unsaved unto eternal damnation. Look at what you read there in verse 28 and 29. Christ is speaking in John 5. And he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And it says, and they that have done good, that's the saved, unto the resurrection of life. That's eternal life in heaven. And then he says this, and they that have done evil, that's the unsaved, unto the resurrection of damnation. Now when Christ returns, now the body, yes, of the unsaved will rise. And their soul and body will be reunited and cast into hell's torments forever and ever because of their sin. Indeed, the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. There is no end, no escape, and no getting out of the torments of hell. Whenever that unsaved soul and body is in that state forever and ever, there is no getting out. Oh, child of God, in our meeting tonight, realize this, you have a bright future. A bright future and glory, but unsaved, what is your hope tonight? What is your prospect tonight? If you die in your sin, your prospect is this, eternal judgment, eternal woe, eternal damnation, the Bible says. What an end, should you die in your sin. Yes, we see the great blessing that Peter mentions here, the blessing of eternal life. But notice something else tonight further from this confession of faith by Peter. Notice in the second place here in John's Gospel chapter 6 and the verse 58, how we have also a vital question that is asked. As Peter addresses the Lord in our text, he says this, Lord, notice it, to whom shall we go? In other words, Peter here was asking the Lord, Lord, whom should we go to? For eternal life. Whom should we go to for salvation? For peace with God? For pardon for our sin? And for rest for our souls? What a question. My friend, tonight let me say to you, this is a question that you also would do well to ask yourself and to consider. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever said, whom do I go to for eternal life? Have you ever thought, whom do I go to for the salvation of my soul? Have you ever thought, whom do I go to for peace with God, for rest for my soul? Have you ever thought, whom do I go to be delivered from my sin and to be saved from a lost eternity? Whom do I go to? Where do I go? Have you ever thought of those questions? Let me say to you this evening that in answering such questions, please realize that you cannot obtain eternal life by anything of this world in which we are found, in which we live. My all the cares and all the pleasures and all the company of this world can do nothing toward your soul's salvation. All that the world gives and offers can do nothing toward you obtaining eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself made that most plain, did He not, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. In the verse 36, when He says, therefore, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The world can do nothing for your soul this evening. My all that the world can do for you is to bring further guilt and further shame and further misery upon your soul before Almighty God. Oh, as you think of this question tonight, Lord, to whom shall we go for salvation? See that there's no answer in the world. You can search this world from top to bottom, from north to south, from east to west, and you will not find an answer to your quest for eternal life and for God's salvation. But let me say also in answering this very same question, please also see that you cannot find eternal life by religion or by morality. Yes, we thank God tonight for the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. And by that moral law, the Ten Commandments is to be the rule of life for every Christian till they die or until the Lord comes back again in power and in glory. But let me make it clear tonight, that same law does not contain eternal life. My, the keeping of God's law cannot ensure your salvation. You turn in your Bible over to Romans chapter 3 and the verse number 20 and you'll see that for yourself. Look at what Paul says there in verse 20 of Romans chapter 3. He says there, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh, notice it, be justified, be saved, be right with God, so to speak, in His sight, in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What does the law show us before God? It shows us our sinfulness. It shows us our wretchedness, our lost condition before Almighty God. You remember tonight the rich young ruler whom you read about in the Gospels. He came before the Lord and he came boasting about his morality, that he had kept this law and that law and that commandment and this commandment. Yet as he comes before the Lord, what's he seeking for? He's still seeking for eternal life and for God's salvation. Because he says to Christ, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Let me tell you tonight, morality cannot save your soul, cannot bring to you eternal life. Also in answering the same question, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Please also understand that all the rites and all the ceremonies of religion cannot bring to you eternal life. There is no salvation in your baptism. You could be baptized 1,000 times. It will do nothing for your soul. There is no salvation in the Lord's table. The Bible speaks of the ordinances of the church in light of God's salvation. It says of salvation, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me say also to you tonight, dear friend, in answering this question of Peter's, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" that you will not find salvation in your tears, no matter how many tears you shed. You will not find salvation in your fastings, in the mortification of your flesh. People today talk about Lent as if it was some merit with God. It's not scriptural. It's not in the Word of God. You will not find salvation in the reformation of yourself, no matter how hard you try. You see, the Bible speaks of salvation, and this is what it says. It says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done." The hymn writer got it right when they said, "Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal nor respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin," he says, "could not atone." Oh friend, as you consider this momentous question, "Lord, to whom shall we go for eternal life?" may you see tonight in your heart, may you see tonight in your soul that you cannot find salvation in and of yourself. You cannot find salvation in anything of man in this world. And you cannot find salvation in anything of this world or the religions of men across the face of the universe. But notice finally tonight from this great text, notice a glorious truth that is proclaimed. Look at the verse in its entirety. Look at what Simon Peter says here to the Lord. He says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Notice the next statement. As he addresses the Lord, as he speaks to the Lord, he says, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." What a statement of faith from Peter. There he tells us that salvation, this so great salvation, this pearl of greatest price, that this eternal life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him alone. And you know, it's very interesting to note as you read through this chapter and you study that Christ continually throughout this chapter tells us how He and He alone is the source of this eternal life. Go back to verse 27 of John chapter 6. Notice what Christ says there, and you'll see that. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Notice it. "Which the Son of Man shall give unto you." Go down to verse 51 and you'll see the same truth again in the same chapter. He says there in verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live," notice it, "forever," eternal life. In another part of John's Gospel, Christ says, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Look at verse 69, the verse after our text tonight. There Peter tells us how the Lord Jesus is God's appointed giver of eternal life. He says in verse 69, "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Notice that word, Christ. It means the anointed one, the chosen one of God, the one who was set apart by God to give eternal life. Oh, surely the hymn writer got it most right when they said, "Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. And my Christ purchased this eternal life for all His people by His sacrifice and by His death upon the cross. Think of how a person may pay money for an expensive piece of jewelry, for some expensive jewels that they may want. Well, dear friend, Christ paid for the greatest of all jewels, this jewel of eternal life. How? By His own death, by His own sacrifice, and the shedding of His own blood upon the cross of Calvary. Did He not say, I am the good shepherd? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Did He not say, I lay down my life for the sheep? Turn with me in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 9. And look with me at the verse number 12 of the chapter. Look at what the Apostle Paul tells us there as he speaks to us about Christ and His redemptive work upon the cross. He says in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 9, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How? By His own blood, the sacrifice that He gave upon the cross. You see, by the shedding of His own sinless blood and by His atoning death, what did Christ do? He satisfied God's justice. He paid the penalty in full for the sins of all His people. He purchased for all His people by that death everlasting life. It says over in John chapter 10 verse 28, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And by the gift of this eternal life is received and entered into an experience. Whenever a repentant sinner comes to Christ by faith and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as their Savior. You go back there to John's Gospel chapter 6 and to the verse number 40. Notice how Christ there emphasizes that very fact. Verse 40 of John chapter 6, He says, and this is the will of Him that sent me. Notice it. That everyone which seeth the Son, notice the next statement, and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Who's that salvation for? For those who believe on Christ. Those who trust Him as their Savior. Friend, in our meeting tonight, the great message of the gospel is this, that if you come by faith to Christ, come confessing your sins, come trusting in Christ alone for salvation, He will pardon all your sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will save your soul from hell. He will afford and give to you the great prize and pearl of greatest price, that of eternal life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the Lord's promise. Look at the great promise that He gives you there in verse 37 of the chapter. He says, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, notice the promise, I will in no wise cast out. Oh friend, unsaved at our meeting tonight, whoever you are, will you not rest tonight upon this promise, young person unsaved, boy or girl, older person? It's a promise that cannot fail you. Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you concerned tonight about your soul? Is there concern in your soul? Are you concerned tonight about being saved from the wrath to come and being sure of heaven? Do you long to know the forgiveness of all of your sins and peace with God? And I urge you, I plead with you this evening to come by faith to Christ and to trust Him. Trust in Him alone for your salvation. You know, it has been said that eternal life does not begin with death. Rather, it begins with faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Turn over there to verse 47 of John chapter 6. Look at what Jesus says there. He says, verily, verily. In other words, it's doubly sure. He says, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Do you want to be saved tonight? Saved from the wrath to come? To enter into God's so great salvation. That's the way. That's the answer there. Christ gives you it. He says, believe on me. Trust in me. Turn away from self and from sin and every false refuge of man. And turn to me, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, who died for sin upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, tonight, unsaved friend, man, woman, young person. May God give you grace tonight to call upon the Lord. May God give you grace tonight to come to Christ and to trust Him and to know the wonderful joy and assurance of your sins forgiven, that it is well with your soul for time and for all eternity. We're just going to bring our meeting tonight to a close by singing together the hymn number 248. 248. Under the burdens of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. We're just going to sing the first three verses. 1, 2, and 3 along with the chorus will stand as we sing. And friend, think of the words as we sing. If you're not saved, there's a refuge. There's hope for you tonight in Christ. You can be saved and saved eternally. 248 verses 1, 2, and 3.
Our resting and our abiding worship this night.